Over the last 3.5 months, this bountiful group of 10 has traveled across the provinces of China via every public transport imaginable, learning about everything from religion to communism to Tai Chi to Chinese language and songs. What you experienced upon our entrance is just a taste of what we went through walking through crowded cities. Small children would either cower behind parents or shout "Wagoren, foreigner," at us. Others would ask for pictures and selfies, and some would just tell us to put more clothes on if they thought we were too cold. We were given the opportunity to explore the cities of this massive power alongside the rural countrysides. We talked with a monk, laughed at badly translated English, and grew as individuals along the way. Today we hope to share with you just a taste of what we have experienced this semester. First, Claire will talk about where we have been with a map.
So first, we landed in Beijing and stayed there for about a week to get a feel for the mainstream China. After Beijing, we moved to Nanchang, a small rural city of about 1 million people. In Nanchang, we went to China West Normal University, where we took Chinese language courses and engaged with students from the English department. We also had history and cultural classes by our leaders, Merle and Mary. We were also assigned to host families in Nanchang on the weekends. We stayed in Nanchang for a total of 6 weeks with a travel break after the first three. We traveled mainly to Gansu province, to Xiahe, Dunhuang, Lanzhou, and Jiayuguan. Xiahe was a culturally Tibetan area with the largest yellow hat Buddhist monastery outside of Tibet. Dunhuang, we rode camels and ran down sand dunes. Lanzhou, we went to see the Buddhist grottos, and then we came back from the 2 week travel to finish 3 more weeks in Nanchang to say our thank yous and goodbyes to the wonderful people we had met. On the last leg of our cross-cultural, we went to Lijiang, an ancient city, for the markets. Well, lots and lots of markets. And then for some, a 2 day hike. Nanjing was the next place we went to, and we went for some more Gaokao museums and a Confucian temple. Shanghai, we went to see the Bund, the best place to see the impressive Shanghai skyline. And Hong Kong, where we got to see more of a Western and culturally different side of China. And then lastly, we had went to Macau, which was a former Portuguese colony, and we got to see the world's largest casino. All right. Now we're going to do a skit about the experience we had traveling through big cities, taking public transportation. So.
Anyone who's ever taken a language class will agree that learning a new form of communication is a bit difficult. I was fortunate enough to have taken Eric's class before coming to China, so I had learned, or at least remembered, about 50 to 75 characters. To put this into perspective, to graduate kindergarten, a student must know about 300 characters. Luckily, what I had memorized was enough to find the few stores that offered what I missed the most about America: coffee. This probably gave me insight into American culture rather than Chinese, because I would often call out, "Coffee!" to the avid coffee drinkers and beg our ever-benevolent leaders to stop so I could purchase the overpriced beverage. As you heard and saw from Claire's presentation, we went all about the country where the languages Mandarin, Tibetan, and Cantonese were spoken, and the dialects were so contrasted that they might as well have been different languages themselves. Unfortunately, the conversational language that I had learned in America was Beijing Mandarin. The area we spent most of our time in was Sichuan, where pronunciation and oftentimes entire words are different from what I had learned. So take a foreigner who has an American accent, who can barely speak the standard Beijing Mandarin, and put them in a province with another dialect, a recipe for disaster. As a fanatical sweet coffee drinker, I couldn't just say, "I want coffee," like Wo Yao Cafe. That doesn't work, to the barista, because that's not what I want. I want to have the caffeine and sugar high. So whenever pictures were available in a restaurant or cafe, it was the choicest location. When menus were in the character format rather than pictures or spelled out in an alphabet that we could recognize, we developed and coined the term point and click method, where we would point an item, ask for it, and eat it, whether it ended up being chicken feet or not. Here's a reenactment of the time when I tried to order a seasonal coffee.
Ni hao.
Hello.
Ni hao.
Wo.
I.
Yao.
Want.
Zhege.
This.
Xiao.
Small.
Qing.
Please.
So you want a tall toffee nut latte?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. So sometimes to our relief, but also dismay and embarrassment, we would find out after the interaction that they were fluent in English. Although I got the coffee I wanted, I was unaware that this particular drink had little snowflakes on top that was actually cheese. But that experience is a tale for another day. Mandarin is a difficult language to read, but especially in my case, it's harder to speak. You see, Mandarin has tones to words, so the terms mama, ma, 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 and ma all have different meanings, which in itself means you could potentially say, "Need a mama, sure, ma, ma, ma," which word by word translates to, "Is your mother a hemp horse?" Along with language, we practiced and honed many crafts like Tai Chi. This takes years of practice, and some devote their whole lives to it. So this is the best we can do.
Cross-cultural, we are often told to expect a life-changing experience. Coming from Mennonite University, we are specifically told to expect changes in our spiritual life. Despite that, when I left for a trip, I really didn't expect to feel spiritually affected. As someone who isn't really religiously active and can be critical of organized religion, I thought I would remain untouched. But on our trip, we had the opportunity to meet incredible people involved with various religions, see beautiful temples, and learn about views very different than those held by most Americans. Within Chinese religions, like Taoism and Buddhism, people don't necessarily adhere to the strict religious binary we enforce. Just because you're Buddhist, that doesn't mean you can't kowtow at a Taoist temple or quickly pray while in a Christian church. For me, this lack of strict law provided a breath of fresh air in a world I've always found restrictive. But even with a doctrine that allowed flexibility, when people who dedicated their entire lives to their religions, while traveling in Gansu province, an area once part of Tibet that still maintains its Tibetan culture, with the opportunity to meet with a Buddhist monk. Interaction will show you now. Though communication with him was difficult because we didn't have a translator, we were able to ask a few basic questions.
Okay, guys, this is really awkward. Like, we don't really have the language skills to ask him anything. What should we say?
Try to keep it simple.
Okay. What if I ask, like, what his favorite color is? Is that really bad? Go for it? Okay. Oh, here goes. Okay. Ni zui shi huan de yan si shi shema?
What is your favorite color? Red.
Oh, cool.
But with the arrival of our friend and guide, Hung Tao, we were able to ask more substantial questions.
Sorry, I had to take a nap.
Hung Tao, can you ask him how it is he became a monk?
Can you ask what his view on Christianity is?
From this monk, we learned much about Buddhism and how it flows through Tibetan culture. In a mountainous area like Gansu province, social mobility is rare. For this monk, a second son from a nomad family, and many like him, the opportunity to study and be a part of a community is extraordinary. He displayed complete devotion to Buddhism and the monastery, but he was also very positive when we questioned him on Christianity. He praised Christianity, saying that like Buddhism, its followers work to better the world and spread positive influence. But it's not just monks who are religiously dedicated. Every day, nomads from the grasslands traveled miles to bring offerings to the Buddhist monastery, and citizens of the town could be seen at all times of day making prayer walks through the large prayer wheels. Every morning, people made a sacred rock around the monastery. At one point, the people living in Gansu were banned from completing this walk. But despite this, and the punishments that followed, devoted Buddhists completed the ritual. But see, in 1949, with the rise of the Communist Party, restrictions against religious practices were set in place throughout China. Chinese citizens were supposed to put their ultimate devotion into the Communist Party. Everything else was seen as a distraction. While religious regulations have risen and fallen since 1949, a current revival of Maoist communism is bringing more restrictions. But even with these limitations, religious organizations are still persevering. A Christian social work organization is currently working with AIDS victims and elderly people in need of care. Another organization runs the only nationwide Christian website, spreading news about Christianity in China. Ultimately, I went to this trip with low expectations in how it would affect my spiritual life. But I was pleasantly surprised by the peace I felt while walking within a Taoist temple or performing the Tai Chi we showed you earlier. I was surprised by the awe I felt towards the Buddhists who completed intense prayer walks at dawn and the inspiration I took from the Christian organizations providing education, counseling, and care. Going forward, I hope to apply this knowledge and these experiences to my spiritual and religious life. And now at this point, we'll sing you a popular song in China that we learned in our Chinese language class.
Ni wen wo ai ni you duo shen wo ai. Please join us for the last chorus.
How's college going? There's that question again. So basic, yet so not. It demands an answer, truthful, yet it expects an answer that's very well could be a complete lie, short and sweet. Oh, I'm great. It's great. Everything's great. But is it? It's not a lie exactly, but it definitely neglects to answer the entire question. The question, how was your cross-cultural, holds many similarities to how's college. Do you want the short and sweet, or do you want it all? In case you didn't notice, I was the youngest member of the China 2018 cross-cultural. I'm the only sophomore. I'm the baby. I chose to go abroad as soon as possible. It only took me 2 semesters to leave the country, and now I've visited Beijing before New York City. I've been as far as geographically possible from my parents and literally everyone I've ever known. I hopped on a 14-hour flight with no one but strangers. Before China, I had had 2 classes with 2 of the other students, and I had maybe said a total of 10 words between the two. I was alone in a way that was new and strange. I'm definitely more of an introvert, but I found it easy to open up to strangers. There's always a nice bliss with not knowing the people that you're beginning to trust. They don't really know you. You have an opportunity to open up as much or as little as you want without any baggage. I opened up fairly quickly and had already established my first solid relationship the first night in Beijing. After the first, I might as well have been an extrovert. I'm probably best known for being annoying, intense, and obnoxious, but I also hope that I am remembered by my group members for being caring, helpful, and straightforward. I'm the introverted extrovert. I'm the one who was incredibly anxious about airplanes and wasted money on all of the panda things. Gosh, I love pandas. I also really enjoy eel, which I would have not known without China. One of the questions for the cross-cultural application was why China? I have since received this question a countless number of times. Why did I want to go to China? Why did I go to China? I did not think that I knew the answer until I got there. I don't think I even allowed myself to think about the why until China was all around me, until I could feel the breeze in the mountains and the sand in my shoes. I didn't know until I was there. I didn't know until I was finally able to see myself without my loved ones, without any belonging, until I could finally see myself and who I am completely and utterly free and alone. I value the friendships that I have made while having such a wonderful experience, but I think the largest takeaway for me is feeling closer to myself. When I was in China, feeling everything all the time, all at once, I learned so much about me. I actually came across a quote by someone named Emily McDowell during my time in China that weirdly applied perfectly to everything that I was learning about myself at that time and still continue to learn to this day. It goes like this. Finding yourself is not really how it works. You aren't a $10 bill in last winter's coat pocket. You are not lost. Your true self is right there, buried under cultural conditioning, other people's opinions, and inaccurate conclusions you drew about yourself as a kid that define who you are. Finding yourself is actually returning to yourself, an unlearning, an excavation, a remembering who you were before the world got its hands on you.
Go ahead and give Ian an applause. Our trip would not have been possible without help from many people, one of whom is Wan Ying, who is currently studying here at EMU in the intensive English program. Her and her organization, Yubo, were a great resource and provided a classroom for us to learn in. Also, our host families showed us great hospitality. Lastly, I'd like to invite our leader and her husband, our leader Mary Sprunger, forward to receive a gift. Our other leader, Merle, and his wife, Ruthie, are not here today, but are on a warm beach in Thailand instead. The three of them did a great job, and Rashid, too, for the week he was with us. Leading us through a sometimes hectic and always changing China. Lastly, I'll invite you to enjoy our slideshow, some of the pictures we had in China.
Please enjoy the relaxing Chinese song we chose to go with this slideshow.
Watching, watching, and
Xie Xie, thank you for coming, and good luck on your finals.